In the name of Jesus, we continue this afternoon class. Sing hymn 356. Okay, in the name of Jesus, we continue to study the book of Daniel. It's too light. Can someone turn the light off this side? Is it better? Only a little bit. Do you mind to turn the light off? Okay, is it okay? Okay, right? We save the earth a little bit. Okay? So, we are going to study Daniel chapter 3. This chapter is a theme of a test of faith. So, if we read the chapter 2, verse 46 to 48, 46 to 48, this is the proclamation and all the reward of King Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel. Okay, let's read this verse, 46 to 48. 46 and 47 only. Brother Matthew, son. Yeah, chapter 2. No, chapter 2, 46, 47. Okay. We can see how the king, he acknowledged the God of Daniel, right? So he actually made this statement publicly. But in chapter 3, verse 1, sister from Paris. What's your name? Christelle? Please read. Okay. You can see in chapter 3, verse 1, now he make an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, about 90 feet actually. And its width, 6 cubits, about 9 feet. He set it up in the plain of the Duna, in the province of the Babylon. So this kind of the conflict, this is an ironic event actually, right? He set up an image to himself, considered his public confection. You can see how this king is thinking about himself, right? So he acknowledged the God of Daniel's God, but he doesn't worship the God actually. He considered himself is someone of such great standing to be worshipped. So actually this image, the statue, represents himself. It's the gold, right? The entire golden image. Because Daniel interpreted for him about the statue in his dream, and he understands he is the golden head. Now, he wanted to be this statue, this golden image. So this is how he think about himself. Let's continue to see. Let's read chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Brother, Joseph. Yes. Okay. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Okay. So what might be ironic about the proclamation that everyone not worshiping the image will be cast into the burning fiery furnace? Everyone had to be, you know, worship, right? So we can see in Revelation chapter 20, actually the reality for those who refuse to worship God, the true God, will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. At the end, if we don't worship this true God, Lord Jesus Christ, now then our faith is in the lake of fire. This is so true because, you know, some members, they saw the vision or in a dream. It's just the similar to what has been described in the Revelation. So now the king, he wants everyone to worship that the image, right? So if everyone follow his command, then actually everyone will be thrown into the lake of fire eventually. So when we read this chapter, we will consider now it's a choice for those who worship true God. If we don't really understand the commandment of God and how God will judge those who refuse to worship, then we have to consider this, the result in chapter 3. So we don't have, because we don't have to go through every detail in the chapter. I believe you know the story already. Now, Daniel's three friends, they refused to worship this image. So why are the charges brought against these three particular men? Why? These three friends, right? Daniel's three friends, what kind of position they have? Are they just ordinary Jews? No, right? These three men actually are the officers. So they are among all the political leaders. In the verse 2, it specially mentioned whom have been called to that place to participate and to witness the ceremony of the this is called Kai Guang. Just make it public and official. The statues become like an idol. Everyone have to worship like a place has been dedicated with purpose. Okay, so they are among those political leaders. Now, someone just single them out. You are so special. So they are not just ordinary one. We can read verse 12. Let's read this verse. Chapter 3, verse 12. Sister Sarah Wang. Sarah.
Verse 12. There are certain Jews who will set over
Thank you. So there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affair of the province of Babylon, these three men. O king, they have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. So now, the charge is there. What is the significance about the way they characterize the charge against the man to the king? What is the charge? What is the problem of them? They don't worship, right? So in verse 12, if you read carefully, this man have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image. Worship and serve, okay? So if we see what this man or the officers charge the three men are true. So everything they charge is actually true, okay? The men are clear witnesses to the fact they do not and will not worship any god but their own. They only worship the true God. Right? So they refuse to worship this golden image. Their insistence is not just for this event only. They will not worship any other image or idols. This is how they live in the kingdom of Babylon. So they are so special. They're special. Different from all others. Because we don't know among the officers, are there any Jews there? Could be. Right? Could be. But at least these three men, they stand firm in their faith. So is the response of the three men biblical? Because this is the king's order, right? Everyone have to worship. But these three young youth, they say, no, we don't want. Refuse to listen to the command of the king. If we look at the Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Because nowadays we may face the same situation. 13 verse 1. From 1 to 4. 1 to 4. Chapter 13 verse 1 to 4. Brother Ryan Chen. Thank you. So this passage is talking about we have to obey to the authorities, right? But how can we apply the event, the incident in Daniel chapter 3 to this teaching? Because in verse 4 he said the the officer or the king, he is the minister of God to you for good, for good. So if we look at the in the chapter 3, chapter 4, actually from chapter 2 we saw it already. This one true God, he is in control, right? So the kingdom's dominion actually is in his hand. Even though he appointed a government on the earth to rule over the people, but the king cannot above God. So one cannot obey a government at the expense of obedience to Jesus Christ, to God, to our this one true God. So governments or rulers have no position in controlling our conscience or tell us how to worship. This is according to Acts chapter 4:19 and chapter 5:29, how apostles they answer to the Pharisees and the, in the Sanhedrin, right? So the priest they ask them to do something against the teachings of Jesus. So at that time they refuse. They say, which one is right? Listening to you or listening to God, you judge yourself, right? So regarding to our faith, this is actually this conscious according to the truth. We have to insist it. So even now today, you know, we can foresee the situation become worse and worse. You know, last month the homosexuality, the same sex marriage has been legalized, you know, in the Supreme Court. So all the states in the United States, they have to prove the same sex marriage, give them the license, right? Give them all of the same benefit. Treat them equally with the normal marriage. You know, in the future, maybe if someone in the podium in the church proclaim homosexuality is a sin, it's wrong. It's a sinful behavior against God's law. Then the preacher maybe be persecuted and put into prison. Where we insist to proclaim the truth. Or we just, okay, in the podium, we don't say it's a sin, maybe it's a sick. We have to looking for the God's hearing. Where we change our tone or the way we explain the Romans chapter 1 or Genesis chapter 19. No. Because what matter is we have to really understand what is so-called worship. What is the meaning of worship? Can you just utter words to make someone happy? Oh. Even though you don't believe them in your heart. But in order to please men, you just lower your position and you just say some words, okay, make someone happy. Then you are free from the troubles. So these three men, when they face this kind of charge, especially when the king called them up and then in front of king, they have a second chance, right? They can easily just say, okay, we worship, we bow down, but in our heart, we know this is not a God. This is just a, you know, a play, because we just pretend. You can make out a lot of the scenario. How they can escape from this kind of the charge, right? But they refuse to do so. They answer the king in such a firm tone, say, no, we will not worship this image, never. So what is worship? The worship means to serve. You can go to dictionary.com to search what is the meaning of worship. the meaning of worship. So we consider the subject we worship is worthy, and this contains some quality. So we say we worship God, we use time, right? We separate our time. We save our energy, everything. Come to the chapel, we kneel down before Him. We praise Him with our voice. Actually, we use our life to try to get close to Him. So worship, actually, it includes time, energy, our heart, everything. So our life actually is accumulation of the times, right? So during this time, these 2 weeks of MITS, we are here to worship God, to serve God. So actually it's a serve. So what is being required is to stop serving the true God and begin serving the false one in His praise. So when they fall down before this image, the action actually reflect their heart. They change their belief from this the God in heaven now to this image. Even though their heart maybe we don't think so, but from others they view your action, they can interpret this the way, yes, you believe this one is worthy for you to bow down and to serve, right? So we have to be careful. Worshiping actually is a battle in our heart, right? It's a battle. So our faith actually is a spiritual battle. We have to understand the enemy is a spiritual. So the real power behind the statue is a spiritual being, Satan. Satan is working in the king's heart. Satan is trying to grab, to occupy it in the heart too. So that's how this generation is so dangerous. Satan uses all different ways to take our heart off, take it out from worshiping God wholeheartedly. Okay? So how might we characterize their response rejecting to the pressure to cease serving the true God to serve another in His place? Verse 18. Let's read verse 18. Sister, it's from Toronto. Sister from Toronto is Lillian. Who is Lillian? Oh, they make it wrong. Okay, mistake. From Vancouver, okay, Lillian. Okay. From 16 to 18, this passage, these three youth refuse to bow down in the second time, right? Even though they face this angry king, they proclaim God will deliver us from this danger. But if not, if God's will is not so, let it belong to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, or nor will we worship the golden image. So worship worshiping the golden image and that serve your gods are related, co-related to each other. So what can we learn from their response? They know the consequence, right? If they refuse, then burn. But if they turn, then it's okay. Right? They would rather be burned than turn. Can you imagine this situation? Okay, so we don't know how soon, but at the end, maybe we have to also encounter this same decision. Either we instead worship God, or we may change our faith in order to live a little bit longer. Which way you will decide, it depends on you. But after we learn it, hopefully everyone can make a right decision. Okay? So why might the three men have recognized that there is a very serious spiritual issue at stake here beyond just the persecution of their own faith? They can just, if you just look at just the persecution, they can use all different kind of way to escape it. But what the king asks is to worship, to serve this golden image. It's a different thing, right? So, what happened? Yes. The king actually had elevated himself to the level of God. Because this golden image represents the king himself, right? So the king tried to proclaim he is more powerful than God. So in verse 15 is important. Let's see this verse. Verse 15. Please. Brother Liang. Liang, please read. Thank you. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Yeah. So this king, he considered himself as powerful as any king, any gods. So this was not just a challenge to the man's personal faith, right? It was a challenge against the entire faith in the Lord God, Almighty One. Right? Because this king, he said, you have no way to escape from my hand if you refuse to worship this image. Because he treat these three youths, the God, just like ordinary, all the other idols. They treat us the same level. But we see in chapter 2, Daniel already proclaimed to him about who is the true God, right? All the gods, the magicians, the astrologers, soothsayers, they worship, they have no power at all. They don't know even the dreams. But Daniel's God revealed the secret to him. And then now the king, he recognized, oh, yes, this is the future of his kingdom. But at this moment, he still insists himself, just elevate himself as like a king. Like a God. Next. So, when these three men facing the charge about the sovereignty of God himself, What lesson do we learn from their response? From verse 16 to 17. I think this is today is your member verse, right? 3:16 to 17. 16. Let's read 16. Sister, can Sister Victoria from East Bay, Victoria. 16. Okay. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand. That faith. So, in this particular time, right? Because the king said, which God can deliver you from out of my hands, right? These three young men, they can just argue with the king, say, okay, hold on, let me explain who is the king. Who is God? You can just make a debate with the king. But at this time, no need to debate anything. Right? So any kind of intelligence argument doesn't work. So it's only a matter of faith. Because the king he doesn't acknowledge the true God. He still worship his own God, right? So at this time, these three men just proclaim, my God, whom we worship and serve, will deliver us from your hands. So this is faith. Sometimes people argue with what about our faith, our church, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, debating doesn't work. Even though you can use all different kind of the knowledge, the evidence to try to convince the others, it doesn't work. But the way we live out, it matters. So with faith, we live out what we believe. This is more important, more powerful. Okay? So these three men give us this lesson. If we believe what God said about praising, then we will really honor and respect God coming to church on Saturday, Sabbath. Right? If we believe what God promised, then every day we will trust Him, pray, and ask Him to guide this day in our life. No matter what circumstance or no matter anything run into our life, we are okay because we know He is in control. He will deliver us from any other difficulty. Just what we believe in this so-called faith. So if we have faith, then we have the life. This is called a life of faith. So what is the ultimate expression and the testimony of their faith? In verse 18. Their testimony, right? Verse 18, they say, regardless of what happened, they will serve no others, only this God. So, you know, sometimes we wonder about how to define test God, or the in Chinese we call 试探神, right? 试探 means tempted, right? We tempt God. These three friends give us example. They don't push God, have to do something for us. Right? If God's will not to save them, they are okay. So no matter what happened, they just refuse to worship the image. That's called faith. Okay, so their action express how they trust God and really honor God's decision. They don't want to push God to have to do something for us. So please don't tempt God. If we go astray to wrong way, if we fall into temptation at that moment, we may just expect, God, please save me. Give me some sign, you know, or thunder at that moment, and then I wake up and then, okay, I escape. But if God keeps silence, didn't do anything, then we may just sin against God. At that moment, then you say, oh, how come God, you don't give me a warning? Just like in the time of Prophet Samuel, right? When the Israelites, they ask for a king, the Samuel just say, it's wrong, because you reject God as your king. So this is wrong, not right. God doesn't like it. So then what happened? Suddenly, thunder, right? Raining, storm, come. This is evidence how God shows his anger. But sometimes to us, it's just like the same, no change at all. So we have to understand, honor God, worship God, we respect his decision. Okay? So this is how Job he said. Let's turn to this verse. Job 13:15. Job chapter 13, verse 15. The first part, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So even though God kill me, then I still trust him, worship him. No turn, no change. Okay, this is called faith. What is the greater significance of the fourth man witness in the fire with the three men? Because we know that at the end, right? These three men, naturally, they are freely walking in the furnace. And then the fourth man appear. So the king, he witnessed. How come in the furnace, there are four walking there? So, what is this meaning? What is the teaching here? God never, ever differs. Even in the midst of the worst fiery trial, he is always right there beside us. Always there. So, God is in Egypt with the Israelites when they are suffering from the tribulation, right? When Moses was tending the sheep in the wilderness, God is there with him. Okay. When Israel was captive to Babylon, God was there with them, always. So God never leave his people. We have to hold on this faith. So no matter where we go, if we worship God, we keep this faith, he is always beside us to help us. Okay? Isaiah 43, let's read this verse. Isaiah 43. 43 verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. verse 1 and 2. Sister Mandy. Sister Mandy. Where you are? Mandy. Yes. Thank you. In our hymn book, there is a hymn, particular hymn, actually talking about this verse. Do you remember? Anyone remember the hymn? Some through the fire, right? Some through the what? Water, and then? Which one? Which hymn? 400? Huh? Which hymn? 442. 442. Yeah. God will go with us. He should, even through the fire, flood, doesn't matter. What is the path that all chosen people must tread? We are chosen people, right? We are the chosen people of God. We have been called out from this sinful world. We have been separated from others. But we are all called out to walk on a particular path. What is the path? It's a path of fire. It's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus. Actually, John the Baptist, he proclaimed, the one will come who will baptize you with spirit and fire. So Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we supposed to go through all the tribulation, persecution, to enter the heavenly kingdom. So no one can escape. We cannot escape from this path. If we don't want to go to heaven, then we go other way. We can, but there is no shortcut. Sorry. Everyone has to go through it. So this path of fire, we must be aware, we must prepare ourselves to walk through it. But don't worry. Can we learn from this chapter, chapter 3? What are the unexpected benefits from these three men to go through fire? Can we see it? Let's read. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Let's read 23 and 24. Brother from Irvine. Ori. Okay. 24, continue. 25. Okay. So what is the unexpected benefit? They are bound and then they throw into the furnace, right? So the fire actually set them free of their bonds, doesn't it? Right? So now, in furnace, they are free, they can walk. But the fire have no power to harm them. It's so special, right? So, fiery trial is a way to take off the bondage of sin. You know, sometimes we have been bound, like a slave, be bound of sin. This trial set us free. So this verse is important. First Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This is the example of Jesus. Right? So sometimes God used this way to make us free from sin. Trial is actually its benefit. You know, nowadays our life is actually so blessed, so peaceful. If we are living in a situation that are full of danger, all the difficulty, we will become much aware of our faith. So persecution actually sometimes is a blessing. Okay? So remember, trial, this fiery trial is a way to take off the bondage of sin. If we suffer, then we will reject from sin. Number two, the fire provides them opportunity to walk with the Son of God. Isn't it? When they are in the land, do they have the chance to walk with the Son of God? No way. But in the fire, in the furnace, the Son of God come abide with them, walk together with them. That's like a parade. We don't know how big the furnace anyway. But they just walk together. So a trial of fire is a way to see God. Right? A trial of fire is a way to see God. So most of people they can experience God through difficulty. If we are live so, you know, so prosper, nowadays we cannot experience God. That's why. But if we have a difficulty, then this is a chance. We can really experience. Our faith have really substance. We know whom we believe. This is the benefit. Next. It reaffirms their faith of serving only one true God, regardless of the danger of trial. So actually this is a testimony. They insist to worship God only. So their faith gain them victory. So when we are persecuted because of our faith, count it all joy when you fall into trials, right? James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 tell us. Because our faith has to be tested. And this trial brings joy. Bring joy. This is number three. I believe you have to remember this. This in this chapter, this is very important. This is the key. Number four, there were a public testimony which glorified God before others. So you can see how later in verse 27 and 28, how the officers, all the particular leaders, and including the king, how they glorify God, right? They witness how this Almighty God protect his people. So, glorify God in your body. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Glorify. Always remember, we carry this mission to glorify God, to lift up his name. Okay, so this out of these three men's expectation. It's God's grace, actually. Then time's up. The final one. First, we suffer, then we have glory. So the entire chapter here, you can see how they endure suffering, then they end up glorifying God. Okay?
hands up. Let's pray in silence.